Welcome to Grounding Into Your Radiance, a space to dream, explore, and reconnect to your essential self with Stacey Barber. Stacey is a conscious mindset mentor and authentic lifestyle coach with a knack for guiding others to step into their truth and embrace times of transition with courage. Join Stacey in a space for intimate healing and growth, and get ready to face your fears so you can find deeper alignment in your life. Our stories are our light. Let them shine. Grounding into your radiance starts now.
Hello, hello. Welcome, everyone. Spring is here. Like, the sun is starting to shine. I feel like everyone's starting to get a little uptick in their energy. I hope you guys are feeling that as well. I'm definitely feeling it here in our hometown of Charleston, South Carolina. It just feels good. Like, I feel like everything's just starting to kind of sprout and come alive, right? So I'm so happy to have you here with me on this day, this end of February. We're starting to come into March soon, and that's my birthday month. A lot of exciting things coming up, and I'm just grateful to be able to spend this hour with you, to be able to continue to talk about ways that we can really ground in, root in, into ourselves, into who we are, what we're here to do, what our essential truth is, so that we can really start to radiate, like radiate out of ourselves, start to begin to really live in that authentic alignment of who we are. And I've mentioned this before to you guys, but thinking about those beautiful oak trees, right? The roots that go down deep into the ground, the intricate roots that start to really cultivate the soil. We have to have those in order to reach out and expand and touch the other people in our lives to really express ourselves fully. We have to find that grounding, that rooting. And that's really the whole inspiration that I had around grounding into your radiance. How can we ground in? How can we really find our seat center, our sacral root into who we are so that we can shine and begin to radiate out? So that is what we're talking about. Those are the things, like how can we do that in our day-to-day life? How can we start to really begin to allow those simple little tweaks into our days, into our lives that start to make a huge effect of the whole trajectory of our lives. So we are here to really get real, to get honest, to talk about things that matter, to bring you and have conversation with you around things that I know have worked for me personally in life, that I mean, clients are interested in, that we're talking about, so that we can continue to grow together, right? I think if anything that I've been reminded of through this whole experience through the past year going on plus, right, is that we share a common humanity, that we are all doing the best we can. We are putting one foot in front of the other, and we're figuring out our way together. And isn't it so much more of a beautiful journey when we can do that together versus, you know, focusing on just ourselves or bringing everything inward? How can we start to share in communication and communion with one another of, hey, these things really work for me, or this really made a huge impact on one of my clients, try this out, or, you know, just really beginning to come back into that community, that essential connection that as humans we innately crave. And so that's what I hope that we're providing for you here. Today, I'm going to talk about something that is really close to my heart, and a topic that has come up for me over and over and over again in my life that continues to radiate and surface, and ways in which we can utilize this technique in our personal and professional lives to really feel more in the seat of control. Not that we're ever in complete control, but ownership would be a better word. Let me slash out control. Seat of ownership of how we are responding versus reacting to the world around us. And the topic that I want to talk about is mindfulness. And a couple fun fun facts, the actual Pilates and gyrotonic studio that my husband and I own here in Charleston is named the Mindful Body Pilates Studio. And I remember the first time I heard it, it was just that little cue of what does that really mean? You know, when I first introduced myself to the previous owner and we got to know one another and just starting to go into the conversation of mindfulness. And it has been something that has come up time and time again in my life as a tool that has really helped me drop into the present moment of what is going on, how I'm feeling. Really, I like to stay stop past and future tripping and just be here and now. And I know that we're all guilty of that. I mean, it's just the human condition. We remember things that happened before, or we ruminate over things that did or didn't happen. And then we're constantly exploring how we can evolve and how what the next step is and getting so far ahead of ourselves that we're missing what's right in front of us. And that really is the beautiful part about mindfulness, adopting a mindful way of being, is that it's just bringing us back to what is showing up here and now. Because I guarantee when you start to put these tools into practice, when you start to allow yourself just to simply be, you're going to start to see and acknowledge all of the signs, the cues, the little synchronicities that the universe has been providing for eons, but we've been so busy that we haven't seen it, right? It's that idea of opening up our awareness to what's happening right in front of us. I had this really great conversation with a client yesterday. She's a very successful blogger, stylist. She's an amazing person. She's got so many hats that she wears. And there's so many things that she can be involved in, right? There's so many things that are drawing her attention, or clients that want to work with her, connections that she can make. And we really started to sit down and talk about how can you start to really connect back, become really mindful in what your body is telling you about each opportunity that's coming up. And if it's not like a heck yeah, like let it be a no, or maybe not right now, or maybe this is something that we can explore later. But really listening, feeling, what is my body? What is the environment around me saying about this? How do I feel about this? Rather than I need to let someone know immediately, I need to get back to that person, right? That's a reaction phase. That's us reacting to everything that's around us. I call it the squirrel. Like if you think about, like, we have a lab and anytime he sees a squirrel, his attention gets skewed here and there. And as humans, we also, it's like the glittery, sparkly thing that gets our attention. And can we notice it, but then also drop back in into our bodies, into what our system is letting us know is or is not aligned for us at that moment. And when we start to get into that space, when we start to really dig in, to really sit in the seat of ourselves, that's when we start to get the answers and the clarity just naturally comes. And so often a lot of my clients want to like help me connect with my intuition, or help me reconnect back to that voice inside. And I love the conversation that we have around that, because there's nothing I can do outside of that person to help that actually become reconnected or stronger or show up, because it's already there. The magic is when we start to turn down the volume of all of the other things so that we can actually start to hear it. And when we start to come to that truth, that little nudge, that little voice, that higher awareness, that intuition, that it's always been a part of us from day one, even before, right? That it's always been a part of who we are, that it's not something that we have to go look for or that we have to work for. It's actually the opposite, which goes against everything that most of us have been told in the current society, that we got to search, look, right? Keep going, 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 get into that space. It's actually just getting quiet, quieting down everything else so that we can actually hear, because it is there. It always has been. And that's the really fun part that we get to talk about, right? That's when you start to say, oh, that's what that was. I connected with that. That's why I had that feeling, right? Going back into that space. That, my friends, is mindfulness. Mindfulness slash meditation, right? There's a whole show that we could do about that. But it isn't just the act of sitting on a cushion with our legs crossed, our eyes closed, and our fingers pushed together. That's beautiful. I love meditating. I think it's a beautiful practice. The power of the practice, though, is what happens when we stand up and walk out of that room. If we're only meditating or only becoming mindful for 20 minutes of a day, if at the most, right? For most of, like, I struggle to get that at times. What's happening the 24 or almost 24 hours of the rest of the day, right? What is it? How are we taking the components of what we're learning in that to be able to step into our lives? How can those little nuggets, those little moments of time in our day start to invite in that sense of mindfulness? And the client I was talking to yesterday, we were communicating about how are ways that she can start to bring that into her life. And something really simple that I've started implementing in my life is when I am commuting either to and from work or to and from wherever, there are times when I will simply turn the radio all the way off. I'll let my windows come down just enough to let nature in, and I'm just quiet. And it's amazing. I literally work 2 minutes from my house, the signs and the nudges that show up in a 2 minute time period. And that is so beautiful because it's such a reminder of the simplicity of bringing these components into our lives and how those little shifts can start to make a really huge difference. It's the ripple effect. So we're going to talk about all of these great concepts and more. We're going to really get clear on how can we continue to implement mindfulness, being present into our lives each and every day. What does mindfulness actually even mean, right? We're going to talk about all of that. We're going to get really clear. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of how this practice can really start to deeply change your life in such a beautiful way. So this is Grounding into Your Radiance. I'm Stacey Barber. We will be back in just a moment, and I can't wait to continue the conversation with you. See you in a bit.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to The Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Are you trying to lose weight, but feel guilty for eating your favorite foods? Feeling deprived and resentful makes for results that aren't sustainable. Join Adrienne Craig every second and fourth Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for her show, Master Your Mindset for a Weight Loss Breakthrough. Learn to love the journey and watch yourself succeed. For more information about Adrienne or to work with her personally, visit LifeCanyon.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? you, we created the Ecosystem Approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming back, grounding into your radiance. We are talking about mindfulness today and really digging into how this tool can start to shift how you feel in your day-to-day life, really showing up, how you can start to begin to allow in a sense of ease and presence at any moment. This is something, like I was mentioning before, that has been so impactful in my life that synchronistically keeps showing up in so many areas that I'm paying attention. And there's a funny story that kind of comes around this conversation, how it started coming up in my life. I was in Staples the other day looking for one of those boards, you know, that you put up for like a research project. My 8-year-old daughter is getting ready to do her first research project tomorrow on Serena Williams, which I think is amazing, strong, beautiful female. And so I'm searching around, I'm looking around Staples. I hadn't been in there in a while. And I walk by the cap or like the end of an aisle, and I just see all of these, what looks like almost like self-help books. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Like, I've never noticed that Staples had something like that. And so I walk by, and then I'm still looking for the board. And it like catches my eye again. And I just kind of scan. And there were a few books that caught my attention. And then the third time I walked back by, it was as if this one book just sort of went, poof, like, pick me up, check me out, see what I've got to say. And it's this beautiful book. It's like navy and gold, and it's very attractive. It kind of calls you in. And the title of the book is Progress Over Perfection. And just below it, it says A Guide to Mindful Productivity. And I thought, huh, okay. So what does this book have to say that maybe I may or may not know about myself yet? So I opened the preface, and I'm reading a little bit about the author, and it was everything that she was saying about herself, her personal experience of how she found mindfulness and mindful productivity really started resonating on such a deep level with where I was personally and professionally. And really that space of feeling like you're constantly working towards an end goal, not necessarily enjoying the present moment of where you're at most of the time. Yes, we can get there, but what's happening most of the time? And the book is by Emma Norris. I highly recommend it. It is a really beautiful read. You can grab it on Amazon. I read it within 2 days. It's a quick read, but it's stocked full of amazing tips that we're going to cover, sort of what I consider like the top 10 hard hitters that really started making me think about things differently. But there's a story in the book that she starts to talk about of how she was, you know, working at her 9-to-5 and then also her side gig of consulting and figuring out different ways of growing her passion. And she was working all the time. And she remembers going to a trip, and I believe in the book it was to Europe, that she went on a trip to Europe. And instead of enjoying sort of the harvest of all of her hard work, the bounty that she had created for herself, she worked the entire time. I think that she said there were like a couple times when she actually went out and enjoyed the area, but like most of the time, she was still in that habitual forward propelled cycle of, I need to be doing more, 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 right? And that really stopped her in her tracks and made her think about, what is the point of all of this? If I'm working all the time to be able to provide for myself, but then I'm not actually enjoying what has been provided, this isn't matching up. And that really started her journey of getting honest with herself about how is it that I'm showing up every day? How is it that I'm choosing to live my work life and my professional life and my, and then also how is that affecting my personal life? And I would imagine that there are plenty of people out there that are saying to themselves, yeah, like I totally get that. Like I'm feeling that almost to that space of burnout, right? That there is this busyness syndrome that has really plagued our current society of if we don't look busy or feel busy, then we're not doing enough, right? It's that idea of always having something next, always having what's the next step, always having some like what's, I've got one foot in front of the other, but then I'm already trying to bring the other one forward. That's a lot of pressure that we put up on ourselves to sometimes stay and even just look busy, because what we've done by no fault of our own, this is something that has been created and cultivated in our society for eons, is that the state of busyness equates our success. That success equals all the things that we're able to check off, right? All of the certifications or the programs or the degrees or the on and on and on and on, right? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the things, that means I'm successful. But how many people have you come in contact with who have checked all the boxes off, who have met every idea of success, that simply aren't happy at the end of the day? They're not happy with what they've created. They still feel like they're missing out, or that there's something more, right? They haven't come to that space of feeling really, excuse me, just being able to enjoy and be in a space of gratitude with where they're at. There's pollen dropping in Charleston, by the way. So this is happening. So excuse me, that might happen again. But how many times have we seen that? For me personally, I go back in my memory bank to when I was working as an occupational therapist in the rehab, inpatient rehab wing of the hospital that I worked at for about 8 years. I cannot tell you how many stories there were of men and women who had worked their whole lives to achieve the standard of success, to have felt as if they made it. Right? That they missed their kids' soccer games. They didn't take the family vacations. They didn't take time to pursue the hobby that they knew that they really, really loved, to end up finding themselves having experienced a huge health problem, either in themselves or in their spouse, that then took away every opportunity to be really be present in that. They would, you know, I can't tell you how many men and women would come to me either weeks before or after their retirement date of having a stroke or a heart attack or all of these things, that the built up pressure that we are putting upon ourselves starts to break the body down. And so it has been part of my mission and the work that I do day in and day out to start to help people begin to define what success means for them differently. Really getting honest with ourselves about what is it that feels good? What is it that's calling me forward inside of me? Not what society or the world or my teacher or my parents has told me equates success. What does success, or quote unquote, just feeling good about what we're doing in life, look like for me? And that is really such a beautiful space to be in when we can start to go into that space of introspection and really asking ourselves, what does that look like for me? And then what does that mean about the life that I'm living right now? How can I start to be present in the here and now to be able to start to make those changes for myself, to be able to live in that present space, right? To call in more mindfulness. So some of you might be saying, okay, I hear this word all the time. What does mindfulness mean anyway, right? Isn't that meditation, or right? Like there's so many questions around that. And mindfulness is such a beautifully broad term, but essentially it is bringing your undivided attention to the present moment, to what is happening right now. And I remember reading someone's description of mindfulness of being present in the current moment, despite life happening around you. And I love that because it is that, that life is going to keep moving. Life, things are going to come up. Your kid's going to run upstairs and need your attention. Like the lights are going to need to, you know, be turned off or this or that, all the things. But how can we start to drop down into what is happening in the present moment, despite what is going on around us, so that we can enjoy what's here and now? I have a really dear friend that I went through a beautiful program with, and she bought me a magnet before she left. She lives in Brazil, and I keep it on my fridge to remind me of the truth of this. And it says, even though your mind is full, you can also be mindful, right? Being mindful, even when your mind is full. That even though we've got the things that are running through the mind, all the different ideas, yes, that's great. Like keep visioning and dreaming. But then also what we were talking about before, stay present to what's actually happening in front of you. What's working right now? What is the universe putting directly in front of you so that you can see, oh my goodness, this is allowing me to take like a really beautiful straight line versus the detour that I thought was my best way, that I thought was the best path. Staying present to those moments, the people that are coming into your lives, the connections that come back around, right? Really allowing ourselves to be in the openness of that starts to reconnect us with source energy, with all the universal laws that are abundantly available to us at any given moment, to the signs, to that higher divine guidance that is really just waiting for us to start to listen. And it is the beautiful aspect of sitting back, zooming out, opening up the periphery so that we can allow that in. And that is, my friends, where the magic starts to happen. And it's a really, really, really beautiful thing. So let's talk a little bit about how we can start to adopt the idea of mindful productivity, bringing mindfulness into the task and the jobs that we have to do day in and day out, professional and personal lives, right? And that is what we're going to dig straight into when we get back. I'm going to share the techniques that I really, that really resonated with me, that almost jumped out with me, that I immediately said, I need to implement this into my life. These are some topics that are really going to help me feel so much more at peace and where I'm at so that I'm not overextending myself and feeling in that space where I've stretched myself so thin that I'm not enjoying what's here now. Really thinking about inviting in, what are some things that you've already started to notice just in this conversation as we've started? What are some times that you've noticed that, man, I really, you know, I neglected to spend time with this person, or I really didn't take time to like sink into what was happening right before me. Start to invite that in. Really think about how the universe has been in really allowing and providing these opportunities at any given moment throughout our lives. That's the beautiful part of letting this awareness in. So we're going to dig right in when we get back. This is Grounding Into Your Radiance. I'm Stacey Barber. I'll see you in just a bit.
Learn how to RISE in business by being confident on video. Confidence coach Susan Axelrod and online business producer Pam Sullivan have teamed up bringing you a new podcast, Webcam Confidence for Women. Tune in live every first and third Friday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, and stay for an open virtual presenter studio session. Offering attendees confidence on webcam, a must-have skill for every woman in business. For more information, visit volutionvirtual.com/studio.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
Hi, I'm Trish Laub from A Cup of Comfort, where we talk about care hero topics that nobody wants to talk about. Here's your care hero tip of the day. As a child, I took dance lessons. I would twirl through the grocery store, leap from aisle to aisle, and dance anywhere I could. One day, while giving my parents their medications, I realized that dance was my medicine. And when I took my medicine, I was more patient and focused, and my emotional and spiritual tank was filled with more of everything I needed to be a better caregiver and daughter to my parents. I realized that self-care was not selfish, but rather self-love, and that it was essential to my ability to be resilient and to recharge and thrive instead of merely survive. So now, when I need to recharge, I turn up the volume and dance it off. What's your medicine? Tune into my show to learn more. See you the second and fourth Tuesday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on Transformation Talk Radio. Feel free to reach out to me at info@trishlaub.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Grounding Into Your Radiance. I am Stacey Barber. I am so happy to have you here. I love the conversations that we're having and just being able to talk about ways that we can all continue to really invest in our lives and in ourselves and step into, you know, all the potential that we have. As humans here on earth and spirits in this human realm, I think there's so much untapped energy and accessibility that is available to us that at times we can't see it for ourselves. And when we start to get into these conversations and when we start to allow ourselves to open up our awareness around different ways that we can really continue to expand and grow, that's when we start to see that blossoming happen. And I love that. That fuels me up like nothing else in my life. And I would love to hear from you guys. I would love to feel a connection with you on the other end of this. Reach out. Let me know what you'd like to hear about, what conversations that you want to really kind of cover here, ways that you can get in touch with me. You can find my website at stacybarber.com. My email is stacy.barber@gmail.com. And you can kind of find out about all of the awesome trainings or certifications or all the things that I'm kind of investing myself in and then programs that I love offering my clients. Check it out. I would love to be able to continue to grow this relationship with you. And coming back to what we're talking about today is very much about what we're talking about, the blossoming of really investing in ourselves, a tool that has made such a huge impact on so many lives, including my own, of dropping down into the present moment, really inviting and adopting a mindset of mindfulness, right? Letting ourselves be present. How can that start to be implemented into our everyday lives? We've talked about how mindfulness is not just the act of sitting on the cushion or the chair and going into our meditative practice. How can we start to become more mindful in our day-to-day lives, each moment of every day? I was really inspired by Emma Norris's book, Progress Over Perfection. And from that book, I really started to pull what I kind of feel like are the top 10 sort of highlights concepts for myself. I really encourage you to read it. It was a great book. It was super simple to move through. I read it in just a couple of days. And so you might find a nugget in there that really stands out for you, that resonates with you. But what I want to talk about today is what I feel a generalization that everyone could benefit from hearing. And I felt that for myself personally. And so the first one that really resonated with me was thinking about the idea of realizing that perfectionism is a myth, right? That so often we don't get started, or we don't do the thing. We don't start to follow the nudge because we're so afraid it's not going to look perfect. Well, how am I going to get started if I don't already have everything figured out? It completely defeats the point. And I think that when we get to that space of realizing that perfectionism is essentially, if you think about the mountain that we're climbing that has no peak, it is that we're never getting to that moment where we can say we've arrived, because there is no such thing. Perfectionism is a pure myth. It is an ideology that we have created in our minds of a space that we feel like we should reach that is unattainable. And when we start to allow the truth of that in, we can start to realize that, you know what, like there is no such thing as that. And so today is the day that I need to start. Like listening to that inner calling of, I don't have to have it figured out. I guarantee anyone that you follow or admire or an author of a book, all the things, what we see, the fruits of their labor was not at all who they felt like they were year one, year two, year three of their business, right? That there was that space of growth. There was that fertilization of the soil that they had to tend to build themselves to start from the inside out so that they could really provide and share all of their knowledge with others. We can never compare our day one to someone else's day 1,000 or 100,000 or whatever, right? It's really being in that space of, what am I being called to now? And how can I start that adventure for myself today and drop the idea that it needs to look perfect? Nobody really likes the idea of perfect anyway. If you think about someone that you follow or you listen to that is really just saying what they want to say so that they can reach other people rather than really speaking from their authentic self, you feel that. Like, you know that they're not being real. You know that they're not being truthful. You know that like their real authentic truth is not coming through. And so come back to that and start to check, well, where are my desires really landing? And how is it that I can just show up as who I am today and let that be enough? I love that one. I love starting there because I think it's going to really help prevent a ton of frustration and discouragement that can come up when we get into this space of thinking, I haven't arrived yet. Just start today. The second idea that I love is all around mindset. And it's around the idea of adopting the mindset of growth versus a mindset or a fixed mindset, right? Thinking of the stagnant energy of fixed, contracted, held down versus one of growth, expandable, malleable, being able to change or pivot at any moment. If you think about everything that's happened this last year of how so many people had to move from probably a successful business that they were working on or growing. And all of a sudden, everything, the brakes were hit. And they had to say, okay, what do I need to do to be able to shift into a different revenue stream, to be able to grow, to be able to continue and expand? How can we continue to allow that to come in so that we know that that's available? Allowing ourselves to see that there's not just one way to get to one end result. There are a million paths that we can take to reach our goals, allowing ourselves to be in that space of, it doesn't have to be this one way. If I stay so fixated on the way that I think it should go, then I might be missing out on 10 other ways that would feel so much more aligned, would salvage my energy, would keep me so much more connected to my truth and what it is that I want to bring into the world and just help me feel good, right? And just to come back to the reality that we're all growing. We're growing as parents, we're growing as partners, we're growing as employees, as friends, as employers, like the list goes on and on. And if you can think about growth opportunities, looking at anything that we receive from any type of growth that may or may not worked out the way that we thought it would, just as simply as feedback. That in reality, just as there's no such thing as perfectionism, there's really no such thing as failure either. And I kind of get a little frustrated sometimes with the school system, the way that an A is passing and succeeding and an F is failing, right? That there is that clear line. Whereas in life and even in school, it's feedback, right? Where is it that I need to work a little bit harder? Where is it that my strengths lie? And can I let myself be really good at this? And then maybe this over here is not my zone of genius. And let that be feedback for what it is that I want to put my energy towards or desire to be a part of. Thinking of anything that's happening in life as a realm of feedback. There is no such thing as failure. Feedback versus failure. And asking yourself, what can I learn from this situation and how can I grow and evolve from what I've been shown? It's a really, really powerful space to move from. And I think we can look at that in personal and professional lives and really start to shift the mindset of where we lie there. The next thing that comes up for me from the book that really started to go back to what we were just talking about is not having to have it all figured out and start to take imperfect action today. That it doesn't have to be like beautifully manicured action. Just take action today. Aligned imperfect action, right? If you want to reach your professional goal or become a more like attentive or loving parent, just start today and realizing you have to start somewhere. The first step is the most important because it gets us going where we're wanting to go. But also notice that if you can go back to, if any of you've had children or been around a child, thinking about the progression of learning how to walk, it's no different, right? It's bringing us into that, bringing us into how can we start to put one foot in front of the other to get closer to our goals, to be able to start to really bring in that idea of that it's one step closer to attaining what it is that we want to achieve in our lives, which is so beautiful. We've got so many more. I've got 7 more sort like amazing tools to share with you. So come on back. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to laser in on the last 7 steps to really implementing a beautiful, mindful attitude and mindset towards life. So come on back, grounding into your radiance. I'll see you in just a bit.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every 2nd and 4th Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I am so excited to continue the conversation with you about bringing mindfulness into your day-to-day life. And I am pulling some amazing info that I have gained from this precious little book that jumped right out at me at Staples the other day, and it's called Progress Over Perfection by Emma Norris. Go grab it. It's a great read just to kind of have on your coffee table and pick up. I went through it really quick, and it is stocked full with really great nuggets. And we are continuing the conversation around that. And what the next topic that I want to talk about that I really pulled from the book is the importance of focusing on one thing at a time. This is crucial because the reality, no matter how much I've even said, I'm great at multitasking, none of us are good at multitasking. Like, our bodies are not meant to be doing 10 things at once. And even if we can do it, most of the time we're not doing them really well, or we're not really, we're not putting all of ourselves into it, right? And so really thinking about one thing at a time, can I have 80 to 90% of a task completed before I even start to acknowledge allowing something else in? This has been huge for me. I remember reading the book, The One Thing by Gary Keller, also a great read. And when we bought the studio, going through all of the business planning and lawyers, and it felt so overwhelming, but I literally broke every task down into the most minute thing that I could do. And I did that. And then I did not allow myself to move forward until I completed that one task. So really important. I think this is one of the most crucial steps of focusing on one thing at a time. The next thing that really came up for me is adopting the practice of what she considered in the book as monotasking versus multitasking. And I love this. This is also kind of coming back to that, but realizing that it takes an average of about 23 minutes and 15 seconds to regain your focus once you're distracted. That's a long time. If you think about every time your phone dings or a notification pops up on your computer or whatever it is that's distracting you, we're spending a lot of time and energy simply coming back to completing a task. And so really what monotasking is at its essence is simply focusing on a single task at a time versus all of the other things. And I've gotten into a practice of when I sit down to work, I put my phone on airplane mode, I have all the notifications turned off on my computer, and I have no outside noise. Or if they're, my kids are at home, I'll plug in my earphones and play some just simple music with no words, just to keep me into that space, right? Just to keep me into the work that I've got before me. Doing that work, getting to the most important thing first thing in the morning, has also been a really important task for me, to be able to start to shift into getting bogged down and all the answering of emails and all those things. And that has been really huge, which also flows right into the next step that she was talking about of implementing productivity sprints. So essentially, if you think about a productivity sprint, these are sharp, short bursts of work. And there is a method, it's called the Pomodoro method. And it involves implementing about 25 minutes of a burst of work. So sitting down at your computer, setting the timer for 25 minutes. After the 25 minutes, you know in your mind, subconsciously and consciously, that you're going to have 5 minutes to do whatever. You could get up and take a walk. You could do some yoga. You could get a snack. But being able to say, I'm going to sit and focus on this one thing for 25 minutes, knowing that you've got this little break coming up at the end, really helps stay focused, right? It really helps you realize that, like, it's not climbing the mountain that never ends. Like, you get to reach the peak of the break. And that also something, a component that I've known for a while, but the way that she describes it in the book really helped me look at this not only in my workspace, but in my home space, is the idea of batch working and time blocking. So thinking of batching your work, putting similar things together in designated chunks of time in your day so that you work on similar tasks and so that you can reach what we consider a flow state or an aligned and easeful state of working throughout your day. So if you're going to do housework, if you're going to do your laundry, do the dishes, do the house chores, and then be done. Then when you're going to be sitting at your desk doing your work, know that you're going to block off however much time it is for similar tasks. I'm going to write a blog post. I'm going to on and on, right? Like, those things, batching together the things that you need to do for your day so that you're in a state of flow while you're needing to be, and then so that you can move on from that when you're done. And really looking at your calendar and really blocking off as much time as you need, always give yourself a little bit more time. Things tend to last, take a little bit longer than we expect. So think, if I imagine that I'm going to need an hour to write my blog post, give myself an hour and 30 minutes, right? Let myself just be in that. Give myself permission just to do that. The huge concept throughout the book that she talks about often is the idea of really embracing our imperfection and cutting out all ideas of comparison. Comparison is also a myth, right? We are all authentic, imperfect souls in this world. And we all have something really beautiful and special to bring that no one else can bring. And when we can start to really allow ourselves to adopt that mindset, we stay in our lane. And I love the example that she brought up of in yoga, the idea of is to really stay on your mat, like keep your attention where you're at on yourself. And she said, if you think about this metaphorically, if we are standing up in a yoga class and walking over and starting to practice on someone else's mat, that's going to feel really awkward, right? We're going to feel like we're kind of stepping in on their space. It's no different if we are on Instagram scrolling through everybody's feed that we love and admire, that we're feeling that sense of comparison and we're seeing where we're falling short. It's no different. We've stepped off of our mat. So just really getting back onto your mat, owning what it is that you have to offer, looking at how your gifts are so beautifully imperfect to bring the world exactly what it needs. That is really such a huge component of this work. And in the book, she started talking about this term, and it's called wabi-sabi, and it's from the Japanese culture. And essentially, it is the art of embracing imperfection and impermanence as a central part of life, really taking pleasure in the little blessings and imperfections that life provides. Thinking about a teacup that has a little chip on it, right? And thinking of how that chip reminds you of a beautiful trip that you took with someone, or bringing back that awareness that life in itself is imperfect and we're all simply doing the best we can. And how can I just show up in my own way, in my authentic truth, staying on my path, right? And allowing yourself to reach your destination faster. One of the quotes that the book provides is that we're all walking our own path, but being the only one on yours, you're going to reach your destination a lot faster, staying in your own lane. That brings me to the next idea of the power of boundaries and saying no. This is so hard for so many people. This is a practice that I really had to work on in my life. I'm not categorizing across the board, but many of my female counterparts have a really hard time saying no, even though we know that it is not always at our highest good, the activities that we're being called to do. Really, what I have established in my life is the art of creating boundaries is really about teaching other people how to treat you, how to show up around you, what you are and aren't willing to accept. And it's being really open, honest, and vulnerable, and upfront about what's coming up versus the sense of being resentful or saying yes to something that we really didn't feel aligned for and feeling like, I don't really want to be part of this. I think about how much COVID has helped with this in such an interesting way of, we don't have a birthday party every Saturday to go to, right? Like there's so many little things that I was just saying yes to that I know so many of us fall short and fall guilty to, that how can we start to tap back in, be present with ourselves and feel again, if this is a heck yes, or this doesn't really feel aligned for me right now, being okay with saying that, so powerful. And then really the last one that's coming up for me to share with you here is focus on being versus doing. We are not called human doings for a reason. We are human beings. We are meant to simply be, to show up as we are, to experience life as it's coming to our, to, into our psyche, and really to remind ourselves of what's showing up right now in the present moment. Become aware of your senses and really resist the tendency to try and fix or manipulate something. Just be. One of our therapists at one point, she said, you're starting to listen to learn. Listen to learn versus listen to fix. Really starting to be. Being versus doing. Invite that in. Allow yourself to experience that truth and really allow yourself to call in the truth of, I am exactly where I need to be right now. I give myself permission to enjoy this moment in time. And I love this mantra, this affirmation. I am here. I am happy. And I am enough. Yes. Let that in. Practice this every day. This is a beautiful tool. This is an amazing way to start to cultivate the life that you deserve and that I know that you deeply desire and is waiting for you. So I am so excited to share this info with you. I can't wait to be back with you here in a couple of weeks. Love and blessings to all. This is Grounding Into Your Radiance. I'm Stacey Barber, and I will see you all soon.
Thank you for listening to Grounding Into Your Radiance, where you become empowered to face change and transition from a place of clarity. Learn to shed your layers and declutter the space between your story and your truth. Do you feel a little lighter now? Tune in next time for more opportunities to explore, dream, and reconnect with your essential self with Stacey Barber. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, barber.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.